glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we talk about one of my favorite subjects. It's the grace of God. And to help us do that will be Kyle V. Roberts. He hails from Arizona, and he's also an author with Moody Publishers, Grace Beyond Salvation, Revealing God's Love from Genesis to Revelation. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Kyle.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
I told you it's one of my favorite subjects when I really dug into the grace of God a number of years back. It did transform how I view my everyday life, and it just has so many wonderful benefits. So let's jump in with a good definition. So what is your definition of grace?
Yeah, the definition that I unpack in the book is, and I gotta preface it though, I believe that we are saved by grace. And it is by nothing of our own doing, and that we are saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus. So, like, that is, I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly. In this book, obviously titled Grace Beyond Salvation, I do take a look at grace in other ways, even just outside of our own salvation. And so my definition comes from that. And the definition that I end up working with is that God's grace was never intended to condone sin.
Right.
But he did design grace to endure our sinfulness and triumph over it.
Mm.
And so for me, I actually think that that phrase tells the entirety of the biblical story. So it's like God's grace was never intended to condone sin. I think of like Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 3:5 as we live with God prior to the fall. And then you go back to the definition, but he did design grace to endure our sinfulness. Well, then think like the fall in Genesis 3:6, all the way to Revelation 20. So pretty much the entire Bible is this story whereby God's grace is designed to endure our sinfulness so that we might have a relationship with him. And then you get to the last phrase of my definition, which is, and triumph over it. And so this is the new heaven and the new earth that we find in Revelation 21 and 22. And so as a whole, what we do in the book is we unpack what it looks like for God's grace was never intended to condone sin, but he did design grace to endure our sinfulness and triumph over it.
Mm. Now, my working definition comes from Titus 2:11-14. Ooh. To me, that's it for me. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own people, zealous for good works. There you got it. You've got your purification in Christ Jesus. He's our Savior. And you've got the power to say no to sin, the power to not be a part of lawless deeds. It's this beautiful, isn't it? It's a two-puncher.
It is. And I love that, again, it's the grace of the Lord Jesus, and because that ends up being, at least for me in this book and this project, was just seeing how interwoven God was as he inspired these biblical authors to compose the very writings of Scripture, that at the forefront was telling and revealing the story of the grace of the Lord Jesus throughout it all.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I think of, like power, right? So we have power to say no to sin. And where does that power come from? Only the Holy Spirit, right?
Sure.
I mean, there's no other power. I don't have any power, you know?
Sure.
When the flesh presents itself. But
absolutely.
But we don't have to. So I see the grace of God really being the Holy Spirit who works in us and through us.
The Holy Spirit ends up being, right, that convicts the world of sin. So there's this ministry of the Holy Spirit where he convicts believers of their sin. And yet in that moment in which you're left convicted of your sin, then as a human being, a follower of Jesus, then we respond to that conviction and we confess that sin and we're cleansed from that unrighteousness. And so really, in a very real way, the Holy Spirit becomes one of our main ways in which God ends up bringing us back in light of our sin. When we're brought back, like in 1 John 1:7, we're ultimately cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Like this is, so when we say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That cleansing is very specific, and it's through the blood of Jesus. What initially prompted us to that reality, like you just said, it's the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
That's what I love. People are like, oh, you can have too much grace. Well, my question is, can you have too much of the Holy Spirit working in your life to help you say no to sin? You can't.
Yeah.
I guess you can, of course, quench the Holy Spirit, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's been some very public incidences of that. So talk about this. So let's say, you know, someone who has been big in the Christian community, a lot of people have followed that individual, and yet they are found out, right? An 8-year affair. So people are trying to process that. So the individual has owned it and he says, I'm stepping away and I'm going to be working on this. It's been so interesting to hear all of the chatter and, you know, the disappointment, but I mean, we all grieve and quench. So where is the grace of God in that? I know that's a hard question, but I'm going to throw it at you, Kyle.
Yeah, well, and to be fair, when I set out to, this is, you know, personal in nature, but when I set out to even write this book, I mean, one of my biggest insecurities was, you know, one of my heroes had written a book on this very topic and explaining what is so amazing about grace. And so to read of this recent news, it's devastating and it's sad. But I do think there is something quite powerful about the grace. So when we say, where is the grace of God in all of this? Well, this is why I'm so thankful that God is the one that administers grace and that it's not a human being. Because left into the hands of human beings, we often, if we're honest, there's the real potential that we withhold grace. We don't think somebody deserves grace. Something is done so egregiously that we withhold it from somebody. And yet we have to look to God as the one who sets the tone, sets the stage. It's his grace to administer to whomever he would like, whenever he would like. The grace of the Lord Jesus, even in this particular scenario, is I bet you there's a powerful testimony that will emerge from this, not to celebrate, but just the reality that even in the midst of our sin, that God still desires to dwell with us, that we could never do something that would make God forsake us, leave us, and that really, by his design, it is to endure our sinfulness so that we might have a relationship with him, even in the midst of some of the terrible things that we might do or that we might experience or maybe that somebody has done then to us. And so I'm certain there's stories of grace that will emerge from this. And the other kind of like angle to this as well is I never want to say that something that someone does is greater than God's grace. Like I never want to give sin a rightful place over God's grace. Like that seems very unbiblical. Like God never demonstrates that, oh man, I wish I could extend grace to somebody, but I can't because it's greater than me. It's greater than my ability to forgive or to love. And so, you know, I think that's an important thing, at least for me in the midst of all of this, that it's like, wow, God's grace is magnificent. It's big. It's not celebratory in the sense of where it praises sin. We don't condone it, but it is something that we need to be reliant on a daily basis. And this particular individual is reminding us of that.
So important, because you're right. If there is a sin that is greater than God's grace, then God's grace really isn't all that great. But we know God's grace is greater than our sin.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt.
Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away?
Beautiful voice of Damaris Carbon, Mark and friends. We're talking with author Kyle D. Roberts about grace today. Kyle, what are different Bible characters or other stories influenced your understanding of grace?
I really wanted it because it was a biblical theology, and so I wasn't going to just spend time just in the New Testament nor just the Old, and so it was really important to me. So we spent time in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. We spent time with Jonah, God's beloved prophet, and then we spent time and the prodigal son, and then Jesus himself, and then the new heaven and new earth. So we kind of like, it's a pretty broad stroke. I think the one that was, there was two actually. One was Jonah. You know, when you get to Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, and you actually find out why he fled to Tarshish, that was a pretty meaningful moment because he basically tells God, do you know why I fled? And then his response is, because I knew that you were gracious.
Mm.
And then that was that aha moment where it was like, oh my gosh, like he wasn't just running away from God, but what he was trying to do was he was trying to take God's grace, put it in his pocket, and run as far away from Nineveh as possible because he didn't want the Ninevites to receive God's grace. So that was a very meaningful moment for me and convicting. And then the other one would have been the prodigal son. But instead of focusing so much on the son that runs away or even the father, where for me personally, it was the older brother, you know, those feelings internally where there's this felt injustice. And I think it's real when you see somebody else receiving grace and you're like, well, that, why. They shouldn't receive grace. They shouldn't have done that in the first place. And so you act upon that felt injustice, and you want to preserve, or you want to withhold God's grace from that person. And so that, again, that was a very convicting biblical character and story where I was like, okay, I need to relinquish and give God his sovereign control over his grace. And I need to become a messenger of God's grace, not the one who is determining who should receive it and who shouldn't.
That's so true. I love that story. That just to me is the gospel, because the older brother who stayed was also a prodigal, in that, you know, he didn't want his brother to receive goodness. When the father called him to come into the party, he refused. I mean, that was huge. So the Jewish people listening to that would certainly have understood he was breaking all kind of rules by rejecting his father's appeal. You know, I was thinking about, he wanted to have that little sacrifice so that he and his friends, you know, the father wasn't included in that. So just mistreatment of the father, and yet he didn't see his part in it. He just was thinking of his brother, you know, having all that, you know, interesting time over there in La La Land. Something else I love about the prodigal son is that it's a beautiful parable, of course. But today, when we go hanging out in the far country, or when we stay home and refuse to really go along with God's plan, you know, God is not waiting off in a corner until we get our act together. He goes with us into the pig pen. See, to me, that's amazing grace. He's not waiting for us to come back. He's in it. He was right there when the squandering goes on. He's right there when we're wallowing. So, you know, we have it so much better than the Old Testament in that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Speak to that.
Yeah, and even as you were saying that, I was actually thinking back to Jonah, and when I say what I'm about to say, I promise I'm not trying to be provocative. It's just a weird thought when you read Jonah, that at the beginning of that story, what you come to learn is that God sovereignly lets Jonah run from his presence.
Yeah.
Now, as the story unfolds, you end up realizing that God in his sovereignty is just like you said, you know, with him in the pig pen, so to speak, using the prodigal son. But like, so God is there, he's with Jonah, but there's this reality in which, and this goes to my own life, I would imagine yours and your listeners, like when we run away from God, we are not doing so over and against God's sovereignty, but somehow when we think in terms of God's grace being designed to endure our sinfulness, that there are seasons in which God lets us flee from him, but he also is in pursuit of us, and he's dwelling with us even in the midst of that, which defies reason and math and logic and all of those things. But that's the beauty of the promise that God has to us, and that he will always dwell with us, that he will never leave us and nor forsake us. That's the beauty of the grace of God throughout the entire biblical story.
Yeah, I think we've got to get over the fact that, you know, he doesn't leave. We are close to him. We are clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have his comfort. We have his counsel. And I think that's what we feel like, a separation, but we're not separated. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is really, when I think of grace, Kyle, and just all the wonderful aspects of it, I just hope that's what our listeners are getting here today, is that he doesn't leave you. And see, that's it. My only hope when I am walking according to the flesh is the grace of God. There is no other solution. So why am I in my brain running from my only solution? It's his kindness, his goodness that leads me to repentance. And so we've got to celebrate that more.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. our longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our
We've been talking with Kyle D. Roberts on Mark and Friends. He's the author of Grace Beyond Salvation, Revealing God's Love from Genesis to Revelation, and this is through Moody Publishers. Thank you so much, Kyle, sharing your insight into God's grace with us.
Hey, thanks again for having me. I look forward to talking with you again.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of great news media. Tune in tomorrow, Mark and many friends gathering in the studio, looking into God's Word, sharing what He has birthed up in each and every one of them who are brave enough to step up to the mic. Thanks so much for being a part of the ministry of great news media. Have a great day.